Part 1. Devil's Breath. Chapter 1. April 2011. The Inside Passage, British Columbia. The 60-foot steel-hulled trawler was what all commercial fishing boats ought to look like, but seldom did. Her nets were stowed neatly on their rollers. The deck was free of clutter. The boat's hull and topside were absent of rust and grime, while a fresh coat of paint covered the most weathered areas. Even the boat's worn dock fenders had been regularly scrubbed of grit. While not the most profitable fishing boat plying the northern waters of British Columbia, the Ventura was easily the best maintained. Her ship-shape appearance reflected the character of her owner, a meticulous and hard-working man named Steve Miller. Like his boat, Miller didn't fit the bill of the average independent fisherman. A trauma doctor who'd grown tired of patching up mangled auto accident victims in Indianapolis, he'd returned to the small Pacific Northwest town of his youth to try something different. Possessing a secure bank account and a love of the water, commercial fishing had seemed the perfect fit. Steering the boat through an early morning drizzle now, he wore his happiness in the form of a wide grin. A young man with shaggy black hair poked his head into the wheelhouse and called to Miller. "Were they biting today, Skipper?" he asked. Miller gazed out the forward window, then poked his nose up and sniffed the air. "Well, Bucky, I'd say the west coast of Gill Island, without a doubt," he grinned, taking the bait. "Better grab some shut-eye now, as we'll be reeling them in soon enough."
"Sure, boss. Like a whole 20 minutes?
"I'd say closer to 18. He smiled, gazing at a nearby nautical chart. He cinched the wheel a few degrees, aiming the bow toward a narrow slot dividing two green land masses ahead of them. They were cutting across the Inside Passage, a ribbon of protected sea that stretched from Vancouver to Juneau. Sheltered by dozens of pine-covered islands, the winding waterway inspired comparisons to the scenic fjords of Norway. Only the occasional commercial or tourist fishing boat, casting their lines for salmon or halibut, was found dodging the Alaska-bound cruise ship traffic. Like most independent fishermen, Miller chased after the more valuable sockeye salmon, utilizing purse seine nets to capture the fish near inlets and in ocean waters. He was content to break even with his catches, knowing few got rich fishing in these parts. Yet despite his limited experience, he still managed a small profit due to his planning and enthusiasm. Sipping on a mug of coffee, he glanced at a flush-mounted radar screen. Spotting two vessels several miles to the north, he let go of the wheel and walked outside the pilot house to inspect his nets for the third time that day. Satisfied there were no holes in the mesh, he climbed back to the bridge. Bucky was standing by the rail, foregoing his bunk for a cigarette instead. Puffing on a Marlboro, he nodded at Miller, then looked up at the sky. An ever-present blanket of gray clouds floated in an airy mass, yet appeared too light to dispense more than a light drizzle. Bucky peered across Hecate Strait at the green islands that bound it to the west. Ahead off the port bow, he noticed an unusually thick cloud rolling along the water's surface. Fog was a common companion in these waters, but there was something peculiar about this formation. The color was a brighter white than that of a normal fog bank, its billows heavier. Taking a long drag on his cigarette, Bucky exhaled deeply, then walked to the wheelhouse. Miller had already taken note of the white cloud and had a pair of binoculars trained on the mist.
"You seen it too, boss? Kind of a funky-looking cloud, ain't it?" Bucky drawled.
"It is. I don't see any other vessels around that could have discharged it," Miller replied, scanning the horizon. "Might be some sort of smoke or exhaust that drifted over from Gill."
"Yep, maybe somebody's fish smoker blew," the deckhand replied, his crooked teeth in a wide grin.
Miller set down the binoculars and grabbed the wheel. Their path around Gill Island led directly through the center of the cloud. Miller rapped his knuckles on the worn wooden wheel in uneasiness, but the fisherman made no effort to alter course. As the boat approached the cloud's periphery, Miller stared at the water and crinkled his brow. The color of the water changed visibly, from green to brown to copper red. A number of dead salmon appeared in the crimson broth, their silver bellies pointed skyward. Then the fishing boat chugged into the haze.
The men in the wheelhouse immediately felt a change in temperature, as if a cold, wet blanket had been thrown over them. Miller felt a dampness in his throat while tasting a strong, acidic flavor. A tingling sensation rippled through his head, and he felt a sudden tightening in his chest. When he sucked in a breath of air, his legs buckled and stars began to appear before his eyes. His pain was diverted when the second deckhand burst into the cabin with a shriek.
"Captain, I'm suffocating,"
gasped the man, a ruddy-faced fellow with long sideburns. The man's eyes bulged from his head, and his face was tinted a dark shade of blue. Miller took a step toward him, but the man fell to the deck unconscious. The cabin started to spin before Miller's eyes as he made a desperate lunge for the boat's radio. In a blur, he noticed Bucky sprawled flat on the deck. With his chest constricting tightly, Miller grasped at the radio, scooping up the transmitter while knocking over some charts and pencils. Pulling the transmitter to his mouth, he tried to call a mayday, but the words refused to leave his lips. Falling to his knees, he felt like his entire body was being crushed on an anvil. The constriction tightened as blackness slowly crept over his vision. He fought to stay conscious, but felt himself slipping into the void. Miller struggled desperately, then let out a final deep gasp as the icy hand of death beckoned him to let go.